We need to be reminded on a regular basis, amen, how good God's been to us. Thank you for that. Joshua chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, especially if you're able to, then let's all stand together, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, we've been reading and studying about living the successful Christian life. I do want to take a minute and say that if we're studying about living a successful Christian life, it means that we could live an unsuccessful Christian life. I don't suppose that anybody sets out on the Christian trail as they begin right to fail. That is, to fail of the grace of God, as the Apostle Paul wrote, or just decides, you know, I think my goal in life is to let God down, is to let my family down, is to be unfaithful. I don't think anybody sets out to make those things as their goal, but I do think that they happen because we don't make the goal the alternative. We don't make the goal to succeed. We don't make the goal to listen to God's voice and to purpose in our heart to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so, consequently, what we have today in the 21st century is mediocrity as far as Christian circles. And we have lukewarm Christians who have decided to, stumble, trip, fumble, bumble down the road of life rather than running the race and trying to win the crown. According to striving lawfully for the mastery. And so my hope and prayer is that God would be using this series to help all of us to go on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, I read it this morning during my devotions, and that is, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance and dead works. God's goal for us is, of course, is to go on and to grow up unto Him in all things. And of course, perfection is Christ. We won't get there until we get to heaven. Everybody listening today? Some of you are like, oh, you already have the landing gear down. You're already thinking about the roast or the tortilla or the taco or the burrito. I don't know where your brains are, but many of them are not here. So I want to just help you today. All right? Just want to do a wake-up call. It's interesting how many things are... I wish God would give me the ability to like pop off your heads during the middle of a church service and collect all of the random thoughts that have nothing to do with church and display them. Now, we can't see the thoughts, but I see your face, so at least pretend that you're here, okay? So I need encouragement. That would be a blessing. I'm here. You might as well be here too. All right. So that being said, this morning I want to talk about personal Bible study. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then the only place in the Bible, in all of the Word of God, where you will find the word success is right here. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good. Say it with me. Success. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible this morning. I thank you that we can stand on it assuredly without error. Lord, it is the impeccable, inspired, preserved Word of God for us. We have it today. I'm so glad, Lord, that I can stand on it today firmly, that I can lay the foundation work for my family. And Lord, I'm so grateful that this church is founded and rooted in the Word of God. And Lord, I'm even thankful for the biblical foundation of our country, though those foundations are being destroyed. Lord, it does not relieve us as your children from being responsible for what we do. And so I pray that today, as we open the Word of God, Lord, that you would simply give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to this church. And God, I yield myself to you as I do every single message as your mouthpiece. And I ask that you'd please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may have the privilege of being filled with your precious Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you'd set a watch at my lips and prevent me from saying those things that would be a hindrance to your working and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I also pray that you'd help me not to say those things that would be an offense to anybody in this room this morning, but rather, I pray that you'd help me to be obedient, help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, today as I lift up the Word of God, I pray that you would help us to see, Lord, not just the profit or the benefit. Moreover, I pray that you'd help us to see the necessity of it. God, we need it. Our country needs it. Our homes need it. Our marriages need it. Our workplaces need it. And Lord, you've given it to us so that we could use it. I pray now that you'd bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. For the person who is unregenerate, we could use another word, the person who is lost, the person who has not been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ and without hope, the Bible has but one purpose, and that is to show that individual that there is hope, that you can in fact be saved from sin, that you can have forgiveness of sin, but it is only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In this," the Bible says, "in Jesus Christ was manifested the love of God toward us. And because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, the Bible then has a scarlet thread, if you will, running from Genesis to Revelation that points people to Jesus Christ. Now, for those that would, again, be unregenerate or lost or not born again, they're not saved, the non-Christian, that individual, through the Word of God, must be shown that Jesus is the only way. In other words, a Christian must show an unsaved individual how, from the Bible, they too can be saved. And the reason is because the Bible says, as Christians, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things, the Bible says, also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He goes on to say, but the natural man, that is the one that does not have the Spirit of Christ, the one that does have the spirit of the world, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm for people having the Bible, but if I understand the Bible correctly, the Bible tells us that even in the book of Acts, that there was an Ethiopian that came down into Jerusalem to worship God, and when he left there, he was reading in the book of Isaiah, and he had no idea of whom the author was speaking. So the Bible, through the Holy Spirit of God, sent Philip, and Philip ran and went unto him, and he said to the Ethiopian eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except someone show me?" The Bible says that he went up into the chariot, and he preached unto him Christ, and of course the rest, as they say, is history. My point in saying that is that for someone who is unsaved to pick up the holy word of God and understand what God has for them, even through Christ, is impossible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The context of that is in the spoken word of God. I tell people, look, you have to meet the author before you can understand the book. The Holy Spirit of God has to rest inside of me. So the word of God is to them, according to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that are natural or lost, they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. However, for the Christian, as we've been going through this series, for the one that has Christ, for the one that has all of the assurances in Scripture, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed against him, unto him against that day," the one that I know that I have eternal life, for that individual, the Word of God is something completely different. The study of it is everything. R.A. Torrey once said, and I quote, "There is nothing more important for the development of the spiritual life of the Christian than regular systematic Bible study. It is as true in the spiritual life as it is in the physical life," he said, "that health depends upon what you eat and how much we eat. The soul's proper food, then, is found," he said, "in one book, and that is the Bible." Now, I suppose that it ought to be a given that a God-called pastor will feed the flock of God, the Word of God, at least a few times a week. But Christians need to be fed several times a week. They need to be fed every single day. One reason is that we live in a day where false doctrines abound. Everywhere you turn, there's another church, there's another philosophy, there's another opinion as to what God meant. By the way, if you really want to know what God meant, just read the Bible. You don't have to stray from that. I talked to somebody yesterday, we were out door knocking, and he said, "Oh yeah, well, you know, I used to go to this church, and that's where the way I was raised, and then someone else said this, and so I decided to do my own study, and I'm just going to let myself interpret it." And I had a problem with that, but I was restraining through the Holy Spirit of God, and I said, well, listen, I said, just remember this, it really doesn't matter what my opinion or your opinion is, what matters is what God says. And I said, if we look into the Bible, we'll simply understand that. One reason that I need to be faithful and looking into the Word of God is to keep me safe from error, to keep me safe from those that would take sound doctrine and corrupt it. And the Bible speaks to that. In fact, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, by way of introduction, I want to show you this because the Apostle Paul said, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't wake up, he didn't say that. But some of you are sleeping already, and I haven't even got to my points. And I'm depressed. I'm getting depressed by the moment. He said, listen, I know this is going to happen, and I want to help you to keep you on the right path. Now, the Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 29, I hope you don't mind I'm using the Bible today. I didn't say open the Reader's Digest or Dr. Phil's manual or Fox News manual or CNN or whatever. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember. By the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now watch. And now, brethren. Okay, this is what I know. This is what's going to happen. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That's why the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul goes into this statement that we know very readily, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now the context is, I want you to continue going down the road that you've been taught, right doctrine. You started learning those from your parents, from your mother and your grandmother. Now listen to what he says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What I'm trying to establish here very early on is that Bible, the Word of God, the one book that is eternal, the one book that is impeccable, the one book that has been breathed into existence and preserved by Almighty God, is the one book that we cannot afford to do without. We cannot afford it. In fact, someone put it this way, our spiritual health, our growth, our strength, our victory over sin, our soundness in doctrine, our joy, our peace in Christ, our cleansing from inward and outward sin, our fitness for service, all depend upon the study of the Word of God. Now, that being the case, the one who neglects his Bible is bound to make a failure then of his Christian life. The one who sets aside the eternal book of God, the one who simply misplaces the book of wisdom, the one that says, well, I really don't have time, is what you're saying is, I don't have time to successfully live the way God intended me to live. Now, I want you to consider in your outlines this morning then, as a born-again Christian, what is the right way to study the Bible? If it is so imperative that I get into the Word of God and I take it as more than my necessary food, if it is truly necessary for me to live a successful Christian life rather than simply exist with the form of godliness and not have and deny the power thereof, how is it that I should study it? I want to give you several ways this morning, and I promise I will not be long, okay? Number one, if I'm going to successfully study the Word of God, I must study the Bible personally. Personally. Now, what do I mean by that? When you open the Bible study, do you realize that you have come into the presence of Almighty God? Do you understand the creator and the sustainer of your life and of all life and of everything living on this planet, that he is now getting ready to speak to you? Now, I don't know how you were, but whenever I were to get a letter or a note from my wife before she was my wife, man, that took top shelf. This is the one that I love who's getting ready to speak their heart to me. I want to read it. I want to keep it. I want to read it again. I want to smell it. Why? Because it reminds me of her. Do you realize when you open the Bible, that you're reading the words of God. It takes on a different note a little bit. To study it personally is to understand that I am now preparing to hear from God. And that's the problem with many people, is they don't think that it's the Word of God. They don't believe that it's from God, that it's written from man. And that's why they have no promises to stand on, and that's why they fail miserably. That's why they're stumbling through life instead of going boldly into the throne of grace. D.L. Moody said, very wisely, in prayer, we talk to God. In Bible study, God talks to us, and we had better let God do most of the talking. I like that. We better spend more time, God, using the sword of the Spirit to pierce and divide and discern our thoughts and intents of our heart if we're going to grow. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, in fact, I think you may have it in your notes, Paul writing to the Christians in Thessalonica, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men," notice, "but as it is in truth, the word of God." What he's saying is, when I was preaching to you, what you were understanding, what you were gaining, what began to work in you is how you received it. It's the Bible. It's the words of God. Let me ask you this. Will you this week, as you open the Bible, realize that God's speaking directly to you? Because see, most of the time people say, "Oh, well, you know, I get into Ezekiel and Leviticus and Numbers, and I don't see how that's speaking to you." Well, it's probably not directly to you at that point, because that's a history book. But once you start getting into the personal books, then God wants to speak to you. But you have to understand the whole big picture if you want to live the whole big life. You've got to be able to study it personally. Secondly, we need to study the Bible with great earnest. All right? With great earnest. Now, it's important to know the mind of man. That is, his paradigm, what he's thinking. It's important for us as saved to get into the mind of the lost and say, well, how does he think this way? Because he's probably not seeing things our way. But it is obviously essential not just to know the mind of man, but especially to know the mind of God. Now, that being the case, then the Bible is God's mind revealed to you for your benefit. So you know what that requires? It requires discipline. It requires that you make an effort to do it. I want you to notice in your notes, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Let me ask you a question. In the last 30 days, how many days did you read your Bible? Because I will just be honest with you, however many days you have spent personally and earnestly with effort and discipline studying the word of God, I will tell you that your life, your emotions, how you have gone about your life is directly related. Amen. It's the truth. If you neglect the mind of God, certainly how could you fulfill the will of God? How could you possibly know on a daily basis how God wants you to live without studying the Bible? Some people would brightly, and I suppose in some way sarcastically, say, "Well, I've read the Bible. All of it? Yeah. How many times? Once was good enough." Really? Because there's 66 books in that thing, and I have a hard enough time remembering one, much less all of it, knowing how I'm supposed to live every single day of my life, because I don't know if any of you have noticed it, but my life changes every day. The circumstances of my life change every day. So I need something living, not changing living, but something that never changes, just like God never changes. So I need to be in the Bible. It requires that I would have effort and make an earnest discipline of reading the Bible. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 in your notes. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." You know, someone said one day that is allowed to pass without faithful Bible study is a day thrown open to the advent into our hearts and lives of error or of sin. Do you understand? If I don't pay attention to the truth, I'm probably going to pay attention to error. I'm probably going to give ear to the lie. Satan is subtle and far more powerful and far more smart than you or I put together. So I better cling to the truth. I better study it. I better do more than just want to. I better get to it. Unfortunately, most people put more effort into finding out what's on the mind of everyone else in the world than what's on the mind of the one who created it. There's more time, and Facebook, and Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest all get more hits in a given day than the Bible. Amen. One of the worst things that was ever invented was all the electronic devices that keep us from the one book that God wrote. Isn't that sad? You get up in the morning and you spend more time thinking about and looking to what man wants you to do today instead of what God wants you to do. It's just interesting. Christians have become so successful at thinking of new things to do that we have neglected all that God wants us to do. And we've become neglected. And we live in a society that's reeling back and forth. Why? Because of Christians like us that have said, I'll read it tomorrow. I'll find it on Sunday. Where's my Bible, honey? Do you know where I put it? It's time to go to church. Oh, well. And we decide that we don't need it. We've become liturgical. Well, he'll have something in the notes, and we'll have something somewhere else, and perhaps something on the screen. So I really don't need it, probably because you don't even know where it is. Now, I realize this is a Sunday morning crowd, all right? So nobody get nervous on me. But the reality is, we have thrown God out of the school. We've allowed this country to go down a wrong path because of Christians that won't pick up that book. We won't go down the narrow way that leads to life. We're forsaking the one true way, the old paths, for a new path and a new cart. We need to study the Bible personally. Do you realize that it's your personal letter from God? We need to study it with great earnest. We need to have a purpose and an effort and have a discipline that I'm going to search the Scriptures daily for me. Thirdly, we need to study the Bible with unquestioning acceptance. To be successful in the Christian life, I must accept the Word of God, listen, both what it commands and what it forbids, as reasonable and not impossible. God would not say not to do something or to do something if it was a detriment to my life for His glory. Now, if you don't want to live for God's glory, then it really doesn't matter, right? Doesn't matter what the mind of God is about my marriage. Doesn't matter what the mind of God is about raising my children or how to honor my boss. It doesn't matter what the mind of God is concerning my effort in the workplace or my morality. What matters is what I want. Then you have no problems with this message, because this message, you don't have a problem with the Word of God because you don't read it. It's not that big of a deal to you. What God says not to do and what He says to do is irrelevant to that heart. But to those of us that want to live a Christian life, it's everything. God, I must pay attention to what You want me to have and how You want me to go about this life. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, which means I have to be satisfied that the Word of God and its clear teachings must be for me and those in my family the end of all controversy and discussion. It is the final authority in my life. You say, well, I don't have any authority. That's your problem. You know, wherever you go, no matter how old you get, you're always going to be under authority. Always. Well, I don't like the way you talk. I'm so sorry. You came to the wrong church this morning. No, you came to the right one. Because there is one final authority, and His name is God. And He wrote a book. And He said, I have done all that I can to help you in your life, and I can't help you if you are not going to take my help. The Bible says that it's the only way to have good success. Number four, we need to study the Bible with premeditated obedience. You know what I find is some people say, well, the Bible's so hard to understand. That's interesting, because last time I studied, that book is written on a second grade level. That's amazing to me. People will say, oh, it's so hard to read. Well, all of my kids have been reading it since they could, go to kindergarten. And they really don't have a problem reading it. They normally have a problem applying it. They have a problem doing it. One of the earliest verses, I think, that parents should cling to and enforce is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is, help me, right. Now, if we could just get them to do that, that'd be great. You know, that's all fine and dandy for us, but it's all fine and dandy for us. Well, what I mean is, if we would just say, Lord, I'm supposed to obey You because it's right. See, it's one thing to, here's what I think. I cannot afford to read the Bible like any other book. I can't. It's not for leisure. I don't read it because, oh, it's a good story. It's a good biography. A couple of those books are good biographies. I don't read it for entertainment purposes. Oh, well, that's exciting, you know, to read of all that David did and how Samson and how God, all that stuff. That's not what the Bible's written for. I don't read it for those purposes because it's not a book like any other book. Rather, it's an instruction manual for my life. It's an instruction manual for liberty and what it does and joy and peace and how to get it beyond measure. I have to read it like that. So then nothing goes farther to help someone understand the Bible than the purpose to obey it. Now what if, let's just think out of the box for a minute. What if tomorrow you got up? That would be a good thing if you just got up. And let's say you went to the Word of God and you said, Lord, before I open this book, I want you to know that whatever you say in here about me concerning my life today, I promise to do. You know what happened? You would understand it. I'm going to show it to you since you brought it up. James chapter 1 says in verse 22, but ye be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I don't get it if I don't want to obey it. I don't. Here's another verse. John chapter 7 verse 17, Jesus' own words, if any man will do his will, that is God's will, he shall know. He shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You know that if I read that right and I understand the scripture, that if I have the heart to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, to obey it, then God says, I'll reveal it to you. I'll show you what you need in your life. I will help you. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. How many really want to obey the Word of God? Because I will tell you this, it's not natural. You don't naturally want to hear preaching. You don't naturally want to obey the Holy Spirit of God. You don't naturally want to love like Christ loved the church. You don't naturally want to submit to anybody. It's remarkable how soon we lose our interest in the Bible and how soon our minds become obscured to its teachings when we're living in disobedience. When we live and have an area in our life that is in sin and not confessed and forsaken and had mercy for and forgiveness, it's amazing how much that book just doesn't make sense and how much that book is not very appealing and how much of that book is okay for me to go ignoring. All because I'm not wanting to obey God. I don't want to listen to what God has to say. I don't want to obey my Heavenly Father. I don't want to be saved. Then friend, then you will never, never understand the Word of God because you don't want to. Why should God waste His time and yours if you don't have a heart to obey? The fact of the matter is, if I want to live a successful Christian life, I've got to study it personally. Joshua, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, look, don't let it depart out of thy mouth. Don't stop talking about it. Don't stop understanding it. For therein thou shalt have good success. You'll make your way prosperous. And you'll live a life that God meant you to if you study it personally. I think that's true. I think if you study it with earnestness, that's with effort and discipline, systematically going through the Word of God without questioning, accepting His do's and His don'ts. And by the way, they're not all don'ts, but you got to have don'ts. You got to have some moral check in your life to say, listen, if I just leave you to yourself, you're always going to do that which pleases yourself and always do that which displeases me. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to command you, thou shalt not. If I'm going to live a successful Christian life, then I've got to study the Word of God with premeditated obedience. I'm going into this knowing and saying and committing, God, whatever you say from my life today, as I look for the mind of God concerning my life, I will do it. You have my promise. It'll change your Bible reading. Another thing that'll change it, number five, is if you study it with absolute reliance. We sang the very first song here this morning called Standing on the Promises. Do you have absolute reliance on the Word of God, or have you put your trust and are you looking for help in somewhere else? Because if you're looking for it in the government, you ain't going to get it. If you're looking for it in some hobby or some other destination or some next thing, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find that comfort. You're not going to find that meaning in life. But if I take the Word of God for what it is and say, Lord, I'm finding these promises, I'm finding these words more than my necessary food. I need them, Lord. I want them, Lord. I must hear from you. This last week, we had a meeting with our neighbors here, and I will tell you that every fiber of my natural being was not very happy that I needed to be nice. By the way, don't look at me so smug. You don't like to be nice normally either. If you have an opportunity to be mean, you'll take it, especially if no one's looking. And I didn't feel like humbling myself. I didn't feel like being amiable. I said this to the Wednesday night crowd. I didn't feel like being warm and fuzzy and all those kind of things, but God wanted me to be humble. And I knew, based on Scripture, that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That the only person that gets resisted by the grace of God is the proud in heart. The only ones that have really right to revival and have right to sitting and dwelling with God in the holy hill is those with a contrite heart and a broken and a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. And once I decided to take those promises personally, God changed everything. Now that's reliance. Everything that I needed to hear on that giving day was about faith, was about trusting God, was about taking His word and saying, look, are you going to trust me or not? And I would submit to you, are you going to trust God today and tomorrow or not? Are you relying on His promises? Are you looking for them? Are you willing to follow His commandments? Because if you are, it makes all the difference in your life. Are you going to succeed in this big decision that you have? Are you going to humble yourself to God's will or not? Because if you will, then every promise in there belongs to you. More than 600 to the believer. You can have them all, and God will gladly hear the cry of His children who are willing to follow Him, who are willing to take His word with absolute reliance. Maybe you've heard this promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Many have not heard that because they're not willing to obey what's around it. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Listen, being made conformable unto His death. I don't know about all that now. Look, I know that preachers are gifts of God, and they're supposed to train us up so that we can edify and that we could be fit for the ministry. But I don't know about being conformed to the will of God and trying to be made like Christ. Then you can't have that promise. I mean, I'm sorry, you just can't. If God is telling you, trust me, and you're saying no, and then you get into a point of need and you say, okay, God, I'm back. Do you think God is a fool? No. No one's ever fooled God, not even Satan. But I can be fooled. I can be fooled to thinking that I'm okay without that Bible. I can be fooled to thinking that I don't need to pray and ask God's help to understand it. I can be fooled to thinking that I'm okay without God, and yet God says, without me, you can't do anything. I'm going to give you number 6, and we're done. Look at that, I'm so early. This one is just as important as the previous 5. I would say it probably that they all have to do with each other. This one is the glue that holds it all together. Number 6 is, I must study the Word of God prayerfully. You could have all the commentaries in the world. You could have them all. I've got a lot. But did you know that there's really only one commentary we need? And it's the Bible itself. I believe, without a doubt, and I think the Bible teaches it. I'm sorry, I believe the Bible teaches it. That God wrote the Bible. Because He's the author of the Bible, He's more than willing to act as an interpreter of it. He's more than willing to help me understand it as I read it. Why do you think the psalmist wrote, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law? God, I need you to help me. I'm reading this scripture and I'm finding difficulty. And I don't know, Lord, if it's me. I'm struggling with your spirit of obedience in another area of my life. So rather than plow through without understanding, Lord, I'm going to stop and I'm not going to go another page until you please help me figure it out. Am I not understanding because I'm not willing to obey? Am I not understanding because I'm living in sin? God, please show me what you need from me so that I can hear from you. Will you please help me? Let me ask you a question. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your heavenly Father give to them that ask the Holy Spirit? I think that God knows what He's doing. Each time you open it, whenever you get to a difficult part of it, since He's there with you, why don't you just ask Him to help you? Why don't you just ask the guide of all truth, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever ye shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now look, I suppose I could sit here all morning long and I could say, oh, here's how you study the Bible topically. And you need to get a good topical index, and it will give you every verse about this topic, and that's fine. I suppose I could stand here and say, okay, here's the chronological order of the Bible, the way that it's written, so that you could study it chronologically. I suppose I could give you systematically and comprehensively all methods that you could study the Bible and be thorough. But if you do not study it personally for what it is, if you do not study it earnestly and acceptingly and obediently and trustingly and prayerfully, it doesn't matter if you read 25 chapters in a day. You're reading it for no use, for no gain. You won't be studying it successfully if you don't do it these ways. Remember, there's a Puritan back in the mid-1600s in Europe. His name was Richard Baxter, and he said to his congregation one day, and I quote, now, this blows my mind because this is a long time ago, almost 500 years ago. He said, were you but as willing to get the knowledge of God and heavenly things as you are to know how to work on your trade, you would have set yourself to it before this day, and you would have spared no cost or pains till you had got it. But you account 7 years little enough to learn your trade, and will not bestow one day in seven in diligent learning the matters of your salvation. 500 years ago, they didn't even have the internet. They didn't even have a phone. What was the distractions then? Listen, anything other than the Bible. Let me ask you a question. What's keeping you from picking it up and reading it? What is it? Please spare me the conversations after church and say, I just don't have time. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Don't bring that up, because we all have been given time. Don't say, well, I have too many distractions. I have one child. I have five. Someone else will say, I have seven. We all have something. Well, I have so much responsibility. Welcome to life. Well, there's so much I want to do. Welcome to life. In God's infinite wisdom, do you think he already thought of all that? God's unchangeable. He always has been, always will be. Eternity present is as eternity past and future with God. If that's true, he already took all that into consideration, which leaves us with but one guilty party, us. I'm going to be successful or not based on what I do with the greatest book of all time, the Holy Bible. I wonder if you'll read it this week a little different. I wonder if you'll read it at all. I wonder if your spouse had liberty to go home and say, honey, did you read your Bible today? I wonder if that would make you mad. Well, she doesn't have the right. Oh, she does, actually. I wonder if your kids would know what you read. I wonder if you'd be willing to talk about it. I wonder how successful your life would be if you would just read it. I wonder how successful as a Christian you would be. I wonder how much clearer the Bible would be if you just decided to obey it. I wonder how much happier it would be. Oh, well, if the promise to the children is, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth, I think that, well, let's just look at it here for a minute. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Pastor, I thought you were going to be early. Yeah, me too. Psalm 1. I don't think anything in the Bible is an accident. I don't think it's an accident that this is the first one. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look up here. Do's and don'ts. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, help me, prosper. Could you say that that's a synonym for success? Oh, yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Lord, I'm so sorry for so much wasted time in my